So you know, one of the Christmas songs that is sung just about every special event you have, like if you have a Christmas Eve service or a Christmas banquet or any sort of Christmas thing, you always end with the song, Silent Night. It just seems to be the tradition, what we do. Yet, as I was working on my message, I thought, I don't think it was so silent of a night. I mean, I think this manger scene here, if we flushed it out a bit, we would have cows and pigs and sheep and chickens and roosters. And do you think they were quiet just because baby Jesus was born in the manger? I don't think so. I think it would have been noisy in that stable. The cows would have been mooing and the sheep would have been baaing. Yes. And the rooster would have cock-a-doodle. That'll go on the website really well. But it would have been noisy. And do you think that the baby Jesus just slept all night long and never woke Mary up at all? I think not. I think he probably cried a little bit during the night as well. So I don't think it was such a quiet night, because on top of that, there were the angels. Were they quiet? I don't think so. Let's look at the angels. Let's just take a moment, a bit of time, to look at the angels this morning. And when we talk of angels, we might think of the angels of the Philadelphia cream cheese commercial. You know, an angel with nice bright white wings sits up on a cloud, eats bagels covered with cream cheese. That might be what we think of when we think of angels. Or we might think of the angels as the ornaments that we see around the houses and in stores and that. There's lots of ornaments. Or the Christmas tree topper. For most trees, it has an angel on the top. And that might be what we think of. So then we start to think, well, if those are angels really true? I mean, are they? And if they're true, what are they like? Well, we realize that the Bible talks about cherubims. And cherubims, they talk to, you know, cherubims are mentioned 73 times in the Bible. And cherubims are angels and they have wings. Some have 6 wings, some have less. But they're angels. And then the word angel is actually mentioned over 300 times in the New International Version of the Bible. And so I would have to say that if we got like 373 or more times of angels mentioned in the Bible, I would have to say that angels are real. Without a doubt, they are real. I mean, but do all angels have wings? Do they? We always see them with wings. But do they all have wings? Listen to Hebrews 13:2. It exhorts, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." Well, if a stranger had a set of wings on him, you'd go, "I bet that's an angel." Either that or he's real weird. But so I would say that angels don't always have to have wings. In fact, some of them look like you and me. Because sometimes we're strangers to other people. So angels can just look like one of us. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, the writer asks the rhetorical question, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" The word ministering spirits here means God serving. So aren't all angels God serving, serving God's plan, serving God's purpose with those they are involved in? I would think maybe yes. Because as we read about angels throughout the Bible, we see them ministering. I mean, think of Abraham. He was sending his servant off to get his son a wife. And he said to the servant was wondering, what happens if I get there and I can't find a wife? And he says, the angel of the Lord will go with you, and he will find a wife for you, for my son. He will help you. See, the angel gave Abraham's servant guidance. And then there's David, who states in the Psalms, he states, the angels of the Lord is encamped around those who fear him. So the angel is there for protection of God's children. Peter is freed from prison by an angel in Acts. We see that he's freed from prison. The angel comes and releases the shackles, opens the gates, and allows him to escape from prison freely. The angel is there to help those in trouble. The angel of the Lord guided Philip. The angel of the Lord was there talking to Paul when he was on the ship, and the angel of the Lord came to him at night and said in a dream and said, the ship is going to be destroyed, but if you all stay on the ship, you'll all survive. And so he proclaims God's purpose and God's plan to the other sailors and the men on board the ship. The angel of the Lord is there to warn. And without a question, angels are ministering spirits to those who believe. Just think of how involved the angels were on the Christmas story. I mean, we read in Matthew that the angel announced the coming of the birth to Mary. And then the angel goes to Joseph in a dream and confirms the coming of the birth to Mary to Joseph. And then after the birth of Jesus in Luke, the angel announces the birth to the shepherds out in the fields. Those angels ministered God's plan and purpose of the birth of Jesus to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds. My question is, if the angels had so much to say at the birth of Jesus, about the birth of Jesus, what were they saying? And how does it apply to us? In all the angels have to say about the birth of the Christ child, do we hear? Are we listening to what they have to say to us? Jesus is born to Joseph and Mary just as the angel had proclaimed it. Nothing was out of place. It happened just as the angel had proclaimed to Joseph and Mary. And then there were some shepherds out in the field that same night that Jesus was born. They were watching their flocks. And all of a sudden, an angel appears. And they were terrified. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, we read, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The angel tells these Jewish shepherds that he's bringing them good news of great joy. Who needs good news of great joy? I mean, These are shepherds out in the field. Well, I think if we look back, we would see that there are many that need good news of great joy. If we look at the account of the genealogy account in Matthew chapter 1 and start looking at those people who were in the line of the birth of Jesus in that genealogy of Joseph, we'd see that many could have used the good news. I mean, Judah and his brothers could have used good news. I mean, they sinned terribly. They took their brother Joseph and put him in a pit and then sold him. They could have used good news. And what about David? He could have used good news. He had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. And then he had her husband killed. Could have used good news for his sins. Rehoboam could have used good news. I mean, he became king. And then he listened to his younger friends and came across as strong and overbearing. And in fact, split the nation in two. 10 tribes revolted and just left Rehoboam with Judah and Benjamin. I'm sure those who fell into the hands of the Babylonians when they were exiled, when they were taken captive, I'm sure because of their sins, they would have welcomed good news. Especially good news of great joy. And because Israel sins prior to the birth of Jesus, now the Roman Empire has consumed Israel and is oppressing them. And they're living under much strife. I'm sure the shepherds in the field went, good news of great joy? We could use that. We could use that. The truth is, all who have sinned and all who will sin can use good news of great joy. And that's what the angels were proclaiming. It has been said that good news is only good news to those who know they're in a bad way. If you think everything's good, then good news isn't really good news. But if you start to realize the situation that you're in, that it's bad, that you're a sinner, then you realize that that good news is really good news of great joy. So the question, who could use good news? Every one of us. Every one of us is in a bad way. Every one of us are casualties of sin. The angels are saying that there is good news of great joy for each one who sees that they're in a bad way, who sees that they need forgiveness for their sins. So what is this good news of great joy? Well, the angels reveal in the next verses, in Luke chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the angels say, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. This good news of great joy is a little baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger, in a feed trough. That's the good news of great joy? Well, the angels were saying, this baby is no ordinary baby. First, the angel says this baby is a savior. If we were to look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we would find out and we would read that the angels told Joseph and Mary that they were to name the baby Jesus. And Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word, the Hebrew name Joshua. And Joshua means Yahweh, Jehovah saves, the Lord saves. Joshua brought deliverance. He brought deliverance to his people in the land of Canaan. They came in, Joshua led them, and he delivered the people into the land, into the promised land. David brought deliverance. He brought deliverance to Israel from the Philistines and the nations outside that were pressing in, that were trying to overtake Israel. But Jesus, he would bring a greater deliverance. Greater than all that Joshua brought. Greater than all that King David brought. Listen to Psalm 130, verse 8. It declares, He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. See, Joshua and David freed them from physical pressure. But Jesus would free them from their sins, from the condemnation that the enemy really placed on them. Jesus is the one who can rescue us from all our sins. All our sins. We can be free because He is a Savior. But the angels goes on in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, to say that the child in the manger is Christ. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That's not Jesus' last name. The word Christ means anointed one. Jesus, that baby in the manger, is the anointed one by God. The book of Hebrews reveals that he is anointed priest who can offer himself as a sacrifice once for all sin, one for all men and women and children. He can do that because he's the anointed one. Finally, in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the angels describe the good news, this baby in a manger, as the Lord. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The Greek word in which is used here shows dignity and honor. Also, it acknowledges the power and authority that this child has. This is no ordinary child. In fact, the Old Testament equivalent in the Hebrew would be El Shaddai, which means Almighty God. This baby, this little child, lying in a manger, lying in a feed trough, is the Almighty God. This little baby in a manger is the Savior who will deliver His people from their sins because He is Christ, the anointed priest, who will offer Himself as a ransom for all sin. once for all. This baby has the power and authority to do this because he is God Almighty. That's the good news of great joy. But what makes it even more exciting is the child in the manger was also to be given the name Emmanuel. And we can look and see that in Matthew as well. Emmanuel, which means God with us. This amazing Christ child, the angels are announcing, will walk with us through our journey of life. The Savior, the Anointed One, the Almighty God is with us to walk with us through life's journey. Wow. What good news of great joy for those who are in a bad way, for those who know that they're in a bad way, those who know that they are sinners and that they need a Savior. That they need an anointed one. That they need Almighty God to come alongside. Listen to Luke chapter 2 verse 10 again. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." The angel says this good news of great joy will be for all the people. I was at a funeral just over a week ago in Kamloops. And you know, the minister brought an amazing message at that funeral. It was an amazing message of salvation that we needed to walk with a Savior. But unfortunately, at the end of the message, he basically said that to do that, we just needed to be baptized. And when he was talking about being baptized, he was talking about in the denominational churches, that the mainline churches that believe in just sprinkling the children. In other words, what he was saying is, just about everyone was saved. And I mean, isn't that what the angels are saying? Will be for all the people. Well, yeah, that's sort of what they're saying. The good news of great joy is for all the people. It's for all the people, like the cars on the car lot are for sale to all the people. But the only people who enjoy the cars on the car lot are those who have the money and go and buy the cars on the car lot. Then they have obtained the car on the car lot. Jesus said, or the angel said, the news, the great joy, the good news of great joy is for all the people. But it's only for the people, the only people that get that great joy, that good news, are those who go to Jesus and say, "I'm in a bad way. I need that good news of great joy." Then, when we ask Jesus for salvation, when we ask him to forgive our sins, and then we receive him into our lives to be Lord, forgiveness comes. And we actually get, without any hindrance, good news of great joy. And the angels wanted us to know that it is good news of great joy, and it is something worth rejoicing over. They wanted us to know that this baby in the manger should produce an overwhelming praise and exaltation in our hearts. In Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we reveal, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom God's favor rests. The angel. First, one angel comes and proclaims there's good news of great joy. And then there's a whole host of angels that are excited and say, glory to God in the highest. I mean, we need to get excited here. If the angels got excited about the good news of great joy, which didn't apply to them at all, the angels didn't need salvation. It was mankind that needed salvation. It was mankind that needs the good news of great joy. And if the angels got excited, how much more do we need to get excited? When we start to hear that the angels were what the angels were saying that first Christmas, our hearts should well up with songs of praise, ascribing glory to God. You see, that first Christmas was not so silent. It wasn't a silent night. Do we hear the angels? Do we hear what they say? They say the Christ child, the Almighty God, a Savior, was born for each one of us. Because we were in a bad way, we had all sinned. And as we hear what the angels are saying and we recognize this, and we accept this Christ child into our lives, oh, we should be filled with praise. For we are rescued from our sinful lives, and He walks with us every moment of every day along the journey with us. Wow. Now we can have peace in our hearts because God's favor rests on us. See, God's favor rests on those who accept Jesus and walk with Him. Who accepts the baby, the Christ child, in the manger. Oh, it's good news of great joy. That's what Christmas is about. And that's what we want to proclaim. That's why we do Christmas. That's why we share it with our neighbors and our friends. That's why we invite them to Christmas banquets and to Christmas Eve services and over to our houses just to share the good news of great joy. Are we hearing what the angels say? Do we proclaim it to others? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are the God who sent the good news of great joy. And You just didn't send it for one or two or just a select few or a great number, but not everybody. But you sent that great news, that good news of great joy to all the people. Father, thank You for the opportunity to accept that good news of great joy. May we be people who will share that good news of great joy with our family, with our friends, with the strangers, with our communities, with our world. May we do all we can to share Christmas with others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.